From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Maggio-Pinto. Utah health officials announced on Friday the state's first case of COVID-19, the infection of the coronavirus. The patient, a Davis County resident over the age of 60, is believed to have been exposed on the Grand Princess cruise ship and had been back in the state for about a week. Joseph Miner with the health department says health workers have been preparing for weeks for the first case of COVID-19 to arrive.
We know we're not going to prevent this virus in our community, but we can certainly decrease its spread and make it a manageable situation.
The Davis County Health Department says so far no other cases have been found, and this does not represent a community spread. The patient has been released to recover at home under a county-issued isolation order. A state legislative committee has approved Utah's draft budget, which includes big wins for mental health programs and money to increase state employee salaries. KUER's Sonia Hudson reports on some highlights of the budget.
Lawmakers have said the general fund is tight this year due to a, quote, structural imbalance. That's because sales tax revenue, which feeds the general fund, has slowed. And income tax revenue, which goes to the education fund, has grown. House Majority Whip Representative Mike Schultz says this proposal shows that.
There's, you know, a lot of things in the state that didn't get funded.
Like a high-profile affordable housing bill. It calls for $35 million in funding, but would receive less than a third of that in the draft budget.
But we really tried to focus on the most important things.
He says that includes things like education. The budget includes more than $27 million for wage increases for higher education employees and money for a new initiative that gives grants to deep technology programs. And for mental health, lawmakers have set aside more than $15 million in ongoing and one-time funds for a bill that expands mobile outreach teams and adds more receiving centers.
And the legislature is working to expand on what the state can spend money on that is earmarked for education. Here's Sonia Hudson again.
SJR 9 is a constitutional amendment that would allow education funding to be spent to, quote, support children and to support individuals with a disability. But it still needs approval from the legislature, the governor, and a majority of voters in November. The other piece of legislation, HB 357, would only go into effect if the constitutional amendment does. It creates a reserve account and expands what schools can spend local property taxes on. But voters don't get a say on approving this one. Here's Republican Senator Ann Milner.
We have responsibilities to be able to support our children. It's about the whole child. If a child's not healthy, it's going to be difficult for that child to learn.
But House Minority Leader Representative Brian King says it's almost the end of the session and the legislature needs more time to consider the proposals.
It's hard for me to vote in favor of a proposal that has the potential of taking over $500 million out of the education fund and make it available for other funding needs without having more time to look at this.
The proposals have support from almost all major education stakeholders, except the state's largest teachers union. Sonia Hudson, KUER News.
If you're near Hill Air Force Base this week, you may notice increased flying, but don't be alarmed. The base will be conducting a weapons evaluation exercise starting today. It'll focus on the effectiveness and accuracy of what the Air Force calls, quote, precision-guided air-to-ground munitions, end quote. Tests will be conducted at the Utah Test and Training Range in the West Desert and will run through the week. The Bureau of Land Management's move out west is costing the agency around half the employees who've been asked to make the move. That according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
At least 81 BLM staff asked to move from Washington, D.C. to Grand Junction, Colorado, opted to leave the agency instead. George Stone is with the Public Lands Foundation, a group of mostly former BLM employees. He says it's hard to say what all these losses could affect.
These are employees who specialize in policy, interagency, and interdepartmental coordination, working with key constituents. And it's kind of tough to imagine how this kind of work is going to be conducted out west in remote locations.
The new analysis from the federal watchdog found that the BLM has nothing in place to make sure the agency's goals for this move are met, like reducing costs. It also found limited analysis of what this would mean for the overall workforce. In a statement, the agency said the relocation makes common sense and it, quote, will be better positioned to better serve the American public. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And I'm Diane Machapinto, KUER News.